Good afternoon, everyone. Happy 4th of July. My name is Sari McCree. I'm Vice President of Corporate Relations at Allstate. Allstate is here at the Aspen Ideas Festival because we support this gathering of great thinkers and leaders because we believe that enlightened discussion and dialogue leads to better outcomes for our country and for the world. Americans and foreign policy is the topic of our next session, and clearly there is no shortage of foreign policy concerns for America these days. The war in Iraq, nuclear proliferation in Iran, the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians, America's growing trade deficit with China, and the increasingly negative view of the United States in the eyes of many people around the world. The list goes on and on. Our next speaker is ideally suited to help us understand how most Americans feel about these pressing issues. Douglas Schoen is a founding partner and strategist of the firm Penn, Schoen, and Berland Associates, a leading political consulting firm. He's a noted author and award-winning pollster, and has counseled President Clinton, a variety of U.S. senators, numerous foreign leaders over the past two decades. Doug is here today to reveal results from his latest poll. This was work done in conjunction with Mark Penn, who collaborated on this poll, which was conducted exclusively for the Ideas Festival, and the results of which are hot off the press just 2 days ago. This poll reflects and addresses the Americans' public priorities and our concerns and hopes for the U.S. foreign policy in the immediate and long term. Please join me in welcoming Doug Schoen.
Sari, thank you very much. The poll that I'm going to present now really grew out of a conversation with Elliot Gerson, who suggested that last summer we had talked about domestic policy, and that in light of what has happened since, we really needed to address foreign policy. And as I thought about it and discussed it with Mark Penn, it made perfect sense, hence the presentation that's coming now. And what I'm going to try to do, as you will see, is to provide an in-depth look at how the American public sees foreign policy. We're trying to look beyond traditional polls and look at how people see policy going beyond the Iraq war with a presidential election approaching. And the goal today is to try to present something of a more nuanced view than we get in the snapshot polls we see in the newspapers every day. The poll was done with 1,006 respondents, conducted last week. The margin of error is about 2.5%. I would say, as an overview, many commentators have looked at American attitudes now and pointed to a new isolationism that's appeared in U.S. foreign policy. And while it's certainly true people want a renewed focus on the domestic agenda, they've by no means turned away from recognizing the need to confront directly international problems and crises. They strongly favor multilateralism, but still recognize the need for unilateralism if serious problems cannot be resolved. We call this approach the new pragmatism, and that includes a clear sense that the current approach is failing, a clear sense that we can't retreat from conflicts and threats that exist abroad, a strong desire for bipartisanship in the formulation of American policy and an equally strong sense that it does not now exist, a renewed focus on protecting the homeland, reducing dependence on foreign oil, protecting American jobs from foreign competition, and doing everything possible to eliminate nuclear proliferation. As I suggested, a strong preference for using bilateral and multilateral forums to resolve conflicts, at the same time demonstrating a willingness to accept the need for unilateralism as a means of protecting the nation and preventing terrorism. The American people continue to believe that the threat of terrorism is very real. As we'll show, the approach is non-ideological and wins support from a large majority of the American people on most specific foreign policy problems. Where we stand now, no surprise, American policy in the eyes of the American people is failing. 67% say the country's headed in the wrong direction. 67% say that foreign policy itself is headed in the wrong direction. 80% say that U.S. relations with the rest of the world have worsened in the past 5 years. 63% say those relations continue to get worse as we speak. blame goes to President Bush over Congress by 2-1, with other countries and the Democrats trailing behind in terms of the apportionment of blame. As you can see, the president's job rating is under 30%. His negative rating on both overall policy and foreign policy is over 70%. Iraq is the top foreign policy problem, as everyone would recognize. Improving U.S. relations around the world is second. And third is maintaining that the fight against terror and abroad is the third most significant challenge. Democrats are more likely than Republicans to focus on improving relations around the world. Republicans focus more on eliminating and fighting terror. Voters of all parties agree that Iraq represents a major challenge. In terms of successes of foreign policy, fighting the war on terror and removing Saddam from power are seen as the top two successes, followed by the doctrine of preemption, refusing to talk to countries that fund terror, and funding programs to combat AIDS and other infectious diseases. In terms of failures, again, no surprise, the Iraq war, national security and intelligence mistakes, and just the sense that U.S. foreign relations have generally gotten worse. 82% say as a result that people in other countries view the United States unfavorably. 71% say people in other countries now view the American people unfavorably. What needs to be done to improve our position in the world? Well, again, no surprise, end the war in Iraq. Second, use the military less in international affairs. And third, trailing is work more through international organizations. We asked about bipartisanship, and we found that 70% agree that the parties disagree on most issues and hardly ever work together. And we also found, when we asked whether the parties can work together despite disagreements and reach a consensus, that an equal percent, 70%, disagreed with that. So there's a clear sense that there should be bipartisanship and that it does not now exist. And when we asked voters what they're seeking, 85% said that they wanted to achieve bipartisanship. 15% said it was important for the parties to have their own views, with each one advocating their own position. So there's a clear disconnect between what people want and what they perceive they're getting. As I suggested, 55% called bipartisanship very important, 37% somewhat important. We asked whether bipartisanship could be achieved on the major issue facing the country, and the judgment, sadly, was no, with 29% saying yes, 71% no. And on immigration, the poll was done at the time the debate was raging in Congress, and no surprise that a majority here also said that it was unlikely that bipartisan agreement would be reached. When we looked at a range of issues, you can see that on protecting jobs and maintaining U.S. power, fighting terror, providing troops with adequate resources, again, people are sort of evenly divided. There's a real skepticism as to whether bipartisanship can be achieved. It's only when we turn to issues like defending human rights, Darfur, reducing the spread of AIDS, and reducing the spread of malaria and TB, that we get over 60% saying that we can achieve bipartisanship. In terms of priorities for the United States, the top one is protecting the U.S. from terror. The second is reducing dependence on foreign oil, ending the war in Iraq, protecting jobs, uprooting and jailing and killing terrorist leaders if necessary, preventing North Korea and Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons, strengthening alliances around the world, and preventing weapons of mass destruction from proliferating. Second-tier issues are maintaining U.S. power position as a preeminent superpower, immigration reform, finding bin Laden, fighting global warming. So you can see that preeminence of U.S. as a superpower trails significantly over the issues that I just placed in the top tier. The third-tier issues are ones where we can probably achieve bipartisanship, according to the American people: genocide, AIDS, Darfur, poverty, human rights. In terms of threats to the United States, the top threat is perceived as terrorist organizations: Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda. Then it was Iran's efforts to build a nuclear weapon, Iran aiding Iraqi insurgents, and global warming. The second tier issues were cyber war and cyber terror, international crime, the Israeli conflict with its neighbors in the Arab world, China's emergence as a superpower, or as a world power, and North Korea. Third tier issues were issues relating to China and Russia, and then tuberculosis, malaria, and Latin America. When we ask what the role of the United States should be, there's no sense that the United States should be the single world leader, nor that it should play no real leadership role. 83% say U.S. should play a shared leadership role. Most Americans say that the U.S.'s role in the world is as important as it was 10 years ago. That was the plurality answer. And equal numbers virtually said it should have a more or a less important role. So there's no sense that the role of the United States has dramatically changed. What when we asked people about the trade-off of maintaining a position or trying to maintain a position as the preeminent superpower versus taking care of domestic problems, when we forced that choice on people, it was a 63-37 choice in favor of domestic choices. So that leads one to believe that there's an emphasis on turning back at home. But despite this focus on domestic affairs, the American people recognize that we can't retreat from confronting international problems in a unilateral framework, if necessary. While the American people support bipartisanship and a collective multilateral approach, as well as renewed concentration on domestic affairs, they haven't abandoned unilateralism. So if a threat was posed to the United States and other nations didn't provide assistance, a unilateral approach was appropriate, and 71% agreed, only 29% disagreed. When we asked whether people supported preemptive war and necessary to prevent terrorism before any attacks are launched, 64% agreed. And you can see that while Republicans were overwhelmingly supportive and Democrats were mixed, that, you know, again, we're closer to having a consensus here than some might imagine. Three-quarters of the public endorsed the use of force to prevent an attack on America. 73% say that that would be justified. Only 8% say it would not be justified. And the use of force is also justified when our allies have been either directly attacked, when an attack on our allies is imminent, and even when an attack on our allies is possible. That got 53% support as well. 67% said use of force is justified to prevent nuclear war. 59% said use of force is justified to end genocide or mass killings. And indeed, to protect oil reserves around the world, 52% said the use of force was justified. Only 15% said not at all justified. 33% said sometimes justified. American people are also evenly divided on the need for continued military engagement in the Middle East and North Korea. 47% say we should be militarily engaged. 53% say that we should pull back. Democrats support a pullback by a 60-40 margin, while Republicans oppose it by a similar margin. Independents divide by the same margin as the overall population. Again, the American people are evenly divided on whether there should be diplomatic relations with countries like Iran and Syria that support terror. 50% believe should be no diplomatic relations. 50% say there should be. Again, Democrats support, Republicans oppose, independents evenly divided. In terms of the war in Iraq, no surprise, 82% say it's going badly. 43% say we'll succeed in Iraq. 57% say we'll fail. 14% want to increase troop levels. 26% want to keep them at the same level. 29% want to pull most troops out. 31% say withdraw all troops. So you've got 60% saying pull most or all troops out. At the same time, in terms of funding, and this would reflect what we saw in the Congress, 54% say we've got to keep funding the troops, 46% support cutting off the funding. Democrats, two-thirds to one-third support cutting off the funding, Republicans, 75-25 continue the funding, and independents, 54-46 continue the funding. 56% believe that the war in Iraq is distracting us from the war on terror. It should be 44% believe it's an essential part of the war on terror. 67% say the Iraq war is creating rather than eliminating terrorism. Most Americans believe that Iran is a long-term threat to the United States. Very few see it as an immediate threat. Very few also see it as no threat. 46% say the Bush administration hasn't done enough to stop Iran from developing nuclear weapons. And again, I think that that reflects more a desire for multilateral contacts than it does for active military engagement. 72%, as I just suggested, would prefer diplomacy to pressure Iraq. But if diplomacy doesn't prevent Iraq from developing nuclear weapons, 57% would be willing to support military action. 64% of voters would favor and support airstrikes against military and suspected nuclear targets in Iran if diplomacy failed. But 65% would oppose sending troops into Iran, and 62% would oppose any attempts to assassinate President Ahmadinejad. Most think the United States' occupation of Iraq makes Iran more likely to develop nuclear weapons. 63% said more likely, 21% less likely. Only 37% said the occupation had no impact. Again, 64% say that the North Korea poses a long-term threat to the United States. 66% again believe the crisis as with Iran can be resolved with diplomacy, but 53% would be willing to consider military action if diplomacy did not work. You know, interestingly, Russia is narrowly seen as an ally of the United States rather than an enemy, and the missile shield, which has been debated recently, is seen as something that will amplify tensions rather than promote security. You know, the American people now oppose the U.S. leading a new peace initiative in the Middle East, but want U.S. involvement. They want the U.S. involved, not as a leader. Only a quarter want the U.S. being the leader, and a quarter said the U.S. shouldn't be involved at all. In the conflict between Hamas and Fatah, 47% said it's an internal civil war. 28% said support Fatah and Abbas, and 20% said support both factions. 1% support Hamas. In general, most people think the United States don't think the United States should be involved in democratization to reduce Islamic fundamentalism, as they think it makes the situation worse. In terms of the United Nations, 60% want the UN to have more power and authority, at the same time that 75% give the UN negative ratings and only 25% positive ratings. Exactly my reaction as well. 67% want the U.S. to be willing to make more decisions within the UN framework, even if it means compromising, and 33% took an opposing position. That really covers my slides. I'd be happy to take questions or comments. I think you can understand why, given that quick presentation of a long journey around the world, you can see why I call the American people really pragmatic. And while they're ready to walk away from endeavors that haven't succeeded, they're not really willing to walk away from protecting American security. And what they're looking for from Washington is the same thing we saw last year in terms of domestic party politics, which is bipartisanship. They're really crying out for it, and they want pragmatic, practical approaches that they don't think they're getting. Let me stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes. Oh, we polled 1,006 people, random sample of the population, and it was done between the 25th and 27th. So it would have covered events through, I guess, last Wednesday.
Thank you.
Yes, please. Sure. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
If you hadn't used the word grave when you were talking about you taking unilateral action,
right. You know, it could have, and I'm less tied to the specific numbers on a specific question than the general notion that people are very desirous of a multilateral approach and very, very firm in making it clear that it doesn't mean they've backed off the notion that America has to stand up for Americans, American interests, and American allies. So some of the numbers might have changed, but I don't think the overall conclusions would have. Oh, I'm sorry. The question is, if I had spoke about sending troops and people as opposed to using weapons, would we have gotten a lower answer? I think we probably would have. We talked about military action. That's obviously ambiguous, but I think it speaks to a general mindset rather than specific policy prescriptions. Lewis? Very good question. You know, yes, I'm sorry. It's a very good question, which is, do the findings play to the strengths of any presidential candidate? Look, it's absolutely clear that in the Democratic primary, the answers of Democrats would probably, if anything, underestimate the degree of anti-war sentiment that exists. And similarly, in the Republican primary, the degree of hawkishness and support for the president's policy would also be amplified. But in terms of the general election, what I came away with was a sense that there is certainly vulnerability for the Republicans for the failure of U.S. policy, but also vulnerability for the Democrats if they adopt what I would consider sort of a neo-isolationist foreign policy that doesn't recognize the threats we face. What the American people are looking for is really a practical, pragmatic approach that says, look, we're going to be multilateral in our approach. We're prepared to compromise, but we're not prepared to jeopardize our security. We don't really want to take unilateral action unless we have to, but if we do, we will. Yes, sir.
How significant do you think the president, the current president, and perhaps the future president is in the American people's view toward foreign policy and our involvement?
My sense is enormously important. I think the American people are, as I suggested, practical, pragmatic, and they react to the success or failure of the policy. They're angry at George Bush. They think he's failed. They don't think that he's succeeded, not so much from the position of the Democratic left, which would be, you know, let's withdraw and let's retreat. Their position is sort of, it hasn't worked, we haven't achieved our objectives, he hasn't succeeded. Some people object from the left, some people object from the right. And I think the American people are looking for new leadership, but I don't think that leadership necessarily is dramatically different in terms of the outcome people are seeking. They're just seeking a president who produces a different and arguably better result and outcome, so we're less isolated and less insecure. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
I'm going to shift back to domestic for a second.
Sure.
Last year you talked about affordability.
I did.
And said that if politicians weren't addressing affordability, they were missing the boat.
Right.
And that there were three things that people cared about, being able to retire, being able to afford health care, and being able to send their kids to college.
I did.
And that there was a sort of breakdown in the compact that people thought they had, that if they worked hard, played by the rules, then they should be able to do those things. Have you seen anything different in the last year since that poll was released?
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. And what I would say is I think there's been recognition in the political class that the issues that we saw in that poll are ones that need to be taken up. I mean, the DLC called their initiative, you know, a Restoring the American Dream initiative, and I think politicians have recognized that those issues are out there. I haven't seen practical success in terms of policy initiatives that have been enacted, and I think if you look at the ratings that Congress is getting now in the polls that are done, they're as low, if not lower, than the president's, I think because of a sense that we're not achieving success on those domestic initiatives. And what is common, and I would take both from the theme of the Ideas Festival and indeed the two polls we've done, is a crying desire for bipartisanship in the formulation of policy to respond to people's needs. It's not five-point immigration programs that people are looking for. It's how do I reunite my family and how do I find a way to become a citizen rather than playing political games by responding to political bases. And I say that not to suggest that one policy is right and another is wrong, but people on the left and the right are equally frustrated that people cannot come together to find common ground. And I would say, in general answer to your question, the problem is arguably worse now than it was last year. Anybody else have a question or comment? Yes, sir.
Doug, Iran. Do you think the American people are really aware of that threat of Iran?
You know, I did not recognize until we did the poll the degree to which they see the threat as very real, and they see it as a greater threat, as the data suggested, than North Korea. I think they recognize, because of the hostage crisis way back when, that Iran means business. I think they recognize that much of the unrest in Iraq is being fomented by the Iranians, and I think they see it as a real threat. They're looking for a diplomatic solution, but they recognize, sadly, that if that isn't achievable, we may have to consider other options. Yes, sir.
Do you see any particular trends in a lot of the global issues over the last couple of years and moving forward, global warming and the U.S.'s stance on things like genocide?
Yeah, I think those type of issues more readily lend themselves to bipartisan and multilateral approaches, and the American people are beginning to understand that you can't do global warming or genocide or AIDS just alone. And they recognize, for a lot of reasons, that it's more practical to operate multilaterally and with problems that are not state-based. And I think that would underscore some of the sentiments that we saw on the poll today.
But do you think, in terms of priorities, is for example, global warming, that's been a big theme here at the Ideas Festival, is that growing in priorities over the last couple of years?
I think it is growing. It's still not a first-tier issue. And the reason it's not an absolute first-tier issue is because we face, in the American people's terms, a mortal threat to our civilization on a daily basis. I mean, when candidates sort of ask, is there a war on terror, the answer from the American people is, yes, there is. There is a real and enduring threat. And I say that because some really believe that it's not a threat. It's an issue of crime or criminality or a small group. The American people don't see it that way. And I think issues like global warming will come to the fore when we have perhaps some success in ending the war in Iraq and perhaps getting a handle on global warming.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you for doing this today. Yes. Doug has done a poll for us gratis, and he's done this for 2 years now at the Aspen Ideas Festival. We have to move our next panel, but thank you very,
thank you very,
very much.
Very much.